This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I feel like my leadership style is kind of different. I'm more of a get to know the person, not the player. Just get good relationships with most of the guys on the team, hopefully all of them. And if they do end up having a bad day, they have been slacking, and if some has been happening, be able to have that relationship to be able to come and talk to them and they not take it as disrespect. That's the biggest thing for me.
Deion Walker, the Bills' fourth round pick, defensive tackle. He's the big body space eater. If you were someone that thought you were on this, Joe, big time, they're not going to spend their premium asset, their number one asset, on a big guy in the middle. They're a defense that doesn't use that much. And sure enough, what do? They went corner in the first round, then penetrating defensive tackle in the second.
Uh-huh.
And in the third round, it ends up being defensive end, and then back for the big space eating guy that maybe they can see if they can make something out of him.
Quickly on Walker, because I know we want to get to calls here. I actually, for the defensive tackle they ended up with, I want to listen to Marino again on this. Actually, I heard Joe Marino, Locked On Bills, over the weekend talking about how this was one of the five guys he didn't want to see the Bills draft. The reason I kind of am into the idea of him being the big body space eater defensive tackle that they drafted is his value doesn't seem to be in being the big body space eater. Like, I heard Joe call him a finesse player for his size. He's 6'7", 330, but he plays more like a finesse player. Lance Zierlein at NFL.com, he talked a lot about more of Walker's pass rush ability than his ability to fill up blocks and stop the run. His NFL comparison to NFL.com was Jordan Phillips. 7.5 sacks last year. Yep. Like, to me, I get it. Like, they needed a one technique, eat up those blocks. I feel like the guy they drafted doesn't have to come off the field on third downs.
Okay.
I feel like if he hits, if he becomes like a real NFL player, I feel like, I mean, if he's going to be Jordan Phillips, what was Jordan Phillips at his best? I don't remember him as the guy that was, you know, great run stuffer. It was, no, he had 9 sacks in a season for the Bills. So.
803-0550. Along the way, Bean also said that Dwayne Carter could be a one technique guy for them.
Yes.
He then took Deion Walker after making that comment. Right? As the timeline of that, the weekend. 803-0550. Yeah. Brian in Arcade leads us off this morning. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Hey, guys. Yeah, more of the same on wide receiver. I mean, this is Bean's MO. This is how they want to build a team. I think he's left it with a house of cards. We have cut to the bone at wide receiver. And what I mean by that is now, like, Curtis Samuel has to play. He cannot spend time just injured. Keon Coleman has to improve. Like, he has to be good. Because you have 4 field-worthy wide receivers right now, unless you think Laviska Shenault is going to be on the field in a meaningful way. He hasn't played in a meaningful way since 2021 is the last time he was a receiver. I mean, you look at Bean's record in the draft. It's indisputable now. He's had 8 drafts. He's picked 9 wide receivers. Let's go through the resume. McLeod in the 6th, Prohl in the 7th, Stevenson in the 6th, Gabe Davis in the 4th, Hodgson 6th, Shakir 5th, Shorter 5th, Coleman 2nd, Prather 7th. Your average round is 5.2. Oh, but what about Diggs? He used a first for Diggs. Yeah, that takes the average to 4.9. I mean, I think it is very clear this team does not give a rip about giving Josh Allen a good wide receiver. They got him Diggs, and then they stopped. From that point on, they stopped. Emmanuel Sanders was the beginning of the end. You had to talk that guy out of the retirement, and then from that point on, it has been just a pipeline, a conveyor belt of just has-beens in the league. And his free agents, of course, aren't any better. You can go through that list too. I mean, now you are depending on Josh Palmer, a guy who has never had more than 770 yards receiving in the NFL or in college, to be your best perimeter outside receiver. And he worked with Justin Herbert. Allen is completely left out to dry on this team. I mean, you talk about, oh, well, we could just trade James Cook. We don't need him. He's going to have to carry the ball 300 times. I mean, who's going to be your number one back? Ray Davis? It's insane to me how we have ended up in this spot with the best player this team, this franchise has ever had. It's either him or Bruce Smith for the most talented ever. And you are sitting here every year. It's like this. Oh, well, it wasn't the right time for wide receiver. It wasn't the right time. Meanwhile, Savion Williams goes off. Green Bay has completely loaded up. At this point, you would be on your knees thanking them for, like, Bo Melton. Like, hopefully they can get rid of some of their extra. Their top six is incredible. You need to drill Bean about this, because how do you expect to compete against the Bengals, the Chiefs? You didn't even get to the Super Bowl. You got halfway through the playoffs and you were out. How do you expect this to work every year?
Thanks, Brian. The answer is, I mean, they trust Josh Allen. And, you know, like, grilling Bean, I'll ask him. I've got questions about it. I've got questions about how, you know, when he says, he kind of admitted, I'm surprised I didn't take a receiver until the seventh round. Like, that just treats it like, oh, you forgot something at the grocery store. Like, I think it's an important position. Can they still win without it? They sure can. I think they could win the Super Bowl with the roster they have right now, because you kind of can't overstate how much Josh Allen can lift you up and do everything for you. But to the Packers' point, like, the Packers, it's almost comical. The Packers were the team, hey, what about the Packers model?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you listen to this show, I thought that's ridiculous. They just have a bunch of young guys. They draft receivers, and they are seeking a number one, and they drafted two of the top 12 receiver prospects in the draft, Matthew Golden and Savion Williams. Like, so the Packers model isn't even real anymore. I don't know. Maybe next year it's an offense-heavy draft. Last year was offense heavy. This year was defense heavy. Maybe they go back and forth. I mean, Bean is trying to build the team for the long term. I thought last year the Bills were trying to make a point about a guy like Diggs. We don't need that guy. Allen can be great without a number one.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with that. I don't think they need to have a number one. I think they would love to have one, and Allen would love to have one.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of thought they were proving a point. And then here comes year two of this where – it's not proving a point. It's they think this is ultimately better. And you just can't find very many people outside of Bills fans and people talking about this team to say it's actually better to not know who's going to beat you in a given game. All these other teams have guys that you know the ball's going to go to them, and the ball does go to them, and they're very effective. It's not bad to have good players. So, I you know, whatever. I think they can still be a great team. I fully expect them to be a great team.
Sure.
I also don't want today to just be all about this. I am excited for what they can do on defense. Really excited.
Yeah.
To build the next version of their defense. If Hairston is good, then look out. Their corners are going to be awesome. And I might have questions about their safeties, but their front seven, man, if they can't find a good front seven out of everything that they've added this offseason, then pack it up. Because whether it's Ogunjobi and Hoyt and Bosa and all these picks, that front seven, I'm expecting big things from them. They've got to have answers. They've got dogs up there. It should get nasty for this defense. And that is an exciting idea.
Yeah.
But at the receiver position, I don't think there's any disputing that they do not value it on the level that other teams do.
And he made a good point about how there is going to be, unless there's another ad to come or somebody out of nowhere is able to step up, there's going to be a need for Curtis Samuel to play this year more than he did last year, because last year when he was injured, they were fine, right? Like, yep. In terms of personnel, because they had Mac Hollins. Mac Hollins would come in and play all the time at his position. Coleman would play and Shakir would play, and, you know, they got by. They had to trade for Cooper at some point, but they were able to get by. But now, I mean, what is your – in Samuel, that was not new, by the way. Like, he has had nagging injuries throughout his career. Like, that was a part of his story in Carolina and in Washington, too. He never missed, like, I think maybe there's one season he missed a ton of time of. But say that's to happen to him again. Wouldn't be new. Happens almost every year to him. He has nagging injuries throughout the season. Now who's my guy to step up? Because now it looks so thin on paper,
yep.
Their depth chart. And listen, Josh Allen might love the everybody eats mentality and the guys that they have in there, but that's when the guy that was being asked to play more than we thought was a veteran in Mac Collins. How's he going to feel if it's a rookie? How is he going to feel?
Well, they're not going to have any rookies.
An experienced guy. Yeah. Right. I almost mean like the seventh rounder they just drafted.
Caden Prather.
Yeah. How's he going to feel if it's Shavers? Somebody that has no experience playing in the NFL.
He's going to say he has total faith in that guy and they've worked together for years.
But is he going to throw to him? Because look how long it took him to throw to Shakir. Shakir was on the field for 35% of his snaps in his rookie season. He got 10 passes. I mean, Josh can say all he wants about how much he'll trust a young guy like that, but who's he going to throw the ball to?
Yeah, well, guys got to earn targets.
Right.
To your point about, you know, Palmer and...
Palmer is going to be the answer to this question, I think.
Palmer might be, yeah.
That Palmer is going to have... Palmer is going to have, a big role. Like, in terms of target share and his where they're lining him up. Or, like, I think he kind of has to.
Or it's the year that Kincaid becomes what he's supposed to be, and Kincaid has 90 catches. That's the other part here.
It's all the eggs are going in your internal basket.
Yep.
It is like Palmer is going to come in and supplement and probably be better than what you had from Hollins and Cooper combined even. But that when we talk to Bean, I bet his answer on like where that position could grow, it's just going to be we had three guys last year that to different extents disappointed us for different reasons. That everybody eats worked, and Allen won the MVP, but three guys we invested in, Coleman, Kincaid, Samuel, all kind of let us down. And the bet would be that this year, maybe what, two of the three won't.
Right. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Bills go heavy defense. They get some of the guys at the draft that are tops at their position. Like the tight end is a blocking a mauler, a machine. Unquestionably the best blocking tight end in the class. So tight end three is, you know, a bully. And that's one thing about this that I wanted to bring up at some point. You know, the Bills at some point decided they wanted to be more built for winning in January, right? Mm-hmm. And it is to me, it's an NFL-ism, if I may. What is winning in January? Winning in January is the trenches. Tough. Inside. You got to be tough. You got to be a bully. And the Bills kind of want to be that way. And last year they were. I mean, they had an offensive line that mauled people at times, and they did not have the defensive line to maul the other way. So that's what they're trying to build. That makes sense to me. It is worth pointing out, though, of course, that the NFL only talks about winning in January and winning in December and January one way, and that's getting tougher. No one ever treats winning in January as winning the way the Eagles did, which was, yes, they exploited the Chiefs' offensive line and got pressure on Mahomes. The other thing they did was throw the ball all over Kansas City's face. They threw it all over them. Jalen Hurts was near perfect in that game. Kansas City could not cover Philadelphia's receivers. But for some reason, throwing the ball late in the season, throwing the ball in the playoffs, that's not winning in January. Winning in January is only treated as the rough stuff.
Well, I think the credit, maybe the reason for that is I feel like what's happened over these 3 months is that the credit for that has been given to the Eagles' run game as to why that happened, which I'm not saying that didn't make an impact. Kansas City definitely sold out to stop Barkley in that game, but if anyone has watched A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith for years, you know that, sure, it might have been made easier for them, but they're impossible to cover every week.
Right. They made a Super Bowl with A.J. Brown before Saquon Barkley was there. And Brown, it's Brown and Hurts.
And Hurts was great in that game, too.
It's Brown and Hurts. Those two did not lose a game that they played together with the Eagles this year. When they started and finished, they were undefeated with Brown and Hurts. 803-0550. The Bills are going to win like 14 games anyway. It's fine.
They're going to win the division by
week
7.
They're going to win the division. New England's coming. New England,
not that quickly.
But New England had a nice draft. New England had a really nice draft.
What did they do?
They drafted the tackle,
Will Campbell.
They drafted two starting offensive linemen. They added Kyle Williams, who's a nice receiver to that group.
Yep.
New England had a nice draft. I think New England is about to become not a laughingstock, which, you know, maybe that wins nine games. 803-0550. We'll get more calls on the other side if you're on hold. Sorry. We'll buzz through as many as we can. I put Sal at 8. so we could get a lot of reaction and then get to Sal and Brandon Bean at 8:30. So we've got lots of time for you if you're on hold. We will get right to your calls and continue. Jeremy and Joe here talking about the Bills draft. They go heavy defense. We're expecting big things from the front seven. And, of course, the receiver conversation, I do expect an ad in the next couple days here because I'm ready for someone to tweet, oh, I guess we don't have to freak out now because Amari Cooper's back or Elijah Moore or somebody. They're going to add somebody. I don't have any doubt about that. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.